Jesus, Jesus, sing amen, amen. We are standing, yes, on
you. We worship you, Lord. We know, God, your word declares where two or three are gathered together in your name that you are in the midst. And Lord, you promised in your word that you said that you would inhabit the praises of your people. So we know you're here with us, and we thank you, Lord, for all that you do. Lord, for all that you have done, all that you're going to do, because you are mighty, Lord. There's many more miracles to come. There's many more gifts of the Spirit to work and flow through your people. There's much more for us to do in these last days. And Lord, we exalt you and we thank you that you promised your glory would arise upon your people and be seen in these last days. No matter how dark the darkness gets, Lord, you said you would arise and shine through your people. So we exalt you, Lord Jesus. We praise your name. And it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. That's old school right there. That's old school song. All right, you may be seated. Yes, go ahead this morning. Praise God. Yeah, that was from back in the 80s. Maybe in the 70s when that song was written. I don't remember. I just know we sang it a lot in the 1980s. Well, good morning, everybody. Hope you're ready to get in the Word this morning. We're going to look at some new developments going on in this world of ours. Some of you may have seen some of this, but it's one of my favorite quotes from the movie We Were Soldiers. It's getting sporty out there. Colonel Moore? What was his name? Hal? What was it? I think it was Hal Moore. Colonel Moore said that. Anyway, I want you to turn in your Bibles. Familiar passage for us at this church. I just have to keep going back and back again, but we're going to go to Matthew chapter 24. We're going to read a good bit of this today. And then I hate to say I told you so, but I'm going to actually show you I told you so this morning. You know, the Bible is full of prophecies. You know, there's over 300 prophecies in the Old Testament about the first coming of Jesus. There's no other religious figure, there's no other prophet, there's no other anybody that has that many prophecies, hundreds of years old, very specific about his first coming, like where he would be born, that he would, where he would live, where he would grow up, where he would start his ministry. I mean, all of this is in there. And, of course, we know that the Old Testament scriptures were finished around 450 B.C., but in case you are stubborn and don't want to believe that, then we know from history that Ptolemy II Philadelphius of Egypt, a secular king of Egypt, had the Bible translated, the Old Testament, the Hebrew scriptures, had them translated from Hebrew to Greek, which is called the Septuagint version, and that was from 250 to 248 B.C., somewhere in that time period. So we know the prophecies of Jesus' first coming was all written down beforehand. I think it was Josh McDowell in his book, Evidence That Demands a Verdict, stated that the chances that Jesus Christ is not the prophesied Messiah would be like burying the state of Texas 2 feet deep in quarters, painting one of them orange, having someone jump out of an airplane and land on that orange coin. All right? Not statistically possible that Jesus Christ is not the one who is God in the flesh, also called the Messiah, the Savior of the world, the Redeemer. He is the one. Now think about that. That's over 300 prophecies of his first coming. How many of you know there's 800 plus about his second coming? This same Jesus that lived, that took on a human body, God Almighty that took on human flesh so he could live a sinless life and be the sacrifice, the payment for our sins, which the wages of sin is death. But being the Prince of Life, being the Creator of all, he rose from the dead to show us, too, that if we follow him, that if he is in us and we are in him, we will also live forever. And it won't just be in the spirit. It will be physically. Our bodies will be raised up, and we will be made to have a glorious, eternal, immortal, physical body as well as a spirit and a soul, because Jesus rose bodily, physically, from the grave, yet he could walk through walls. All right? And that new body will never die. Praise God. I'm telling you what, more and more, I'm looking forward to a new body. I don't know about some of you, but I'm looking forward to it. Somebody say, well, you're not that old. It's not the years. It's the miles, folks. But Jesus is coming back. Jesus shall return. And the prophecies of his second coming are very, very specific. And we are watching them now unfold. And I've been talking about this a lot. Now, I started preaching in 1987. It's been a little while. My first sermon I ever preached was in a little Methodist church in Montgomery to a youth group. And guess what I preached on? Matthew chapter 24. You say, well, Pastor Dean, that was like 35 years ago. Yes, it was. Almost 34. Yes, it was. But you know what? Think about that. We were close then. Where are we now? But there were things then that weren't in place, like the internet, right? There were some other things that weren't in place back then. Small implantable microchips that now can be read 50, 100 feet away from you if you have one in your body. There were a lot of things that the Bible foretold that just wasn't there yet. And I remember when I was preaching, I started a church in Montgomery in 1995, and I remember when I started preaching around, I don't know, 97, I started getting back into preaching some Bible prophecy, and people came up to me and they said, well, when do you think these things will begin to happen? And this was 1997, and I remember, and I knew it was the Lord. I just said, I really feel it strongly in the next 20 to 30 years. It will all be happening or beginning to happen. Well, from 1997, 20 years, where does that put us? 2017, you give or take 25, 30, we're right there in the middle of it. But let's read some Matthew 24, because this is what Jesus' disciples asked him right before he went to the Garden of Gethsemane, right before he went to die on the cross. He spoke these words to them because they asked the question, what will be the signs of your coming and of the end of the age? Notice he didn't say, I know the Bible says sometimes the end of the world, but the Greek word, the original Greek word, eon, means age. The earth is going to go on forever. The heavens and the earth are forever. Now, that God's going to change them, but they go on forever. But this age that we live in will come to an end at the second coming of Jesus, and he gave us very specific things to look for and to watch for. Now, Matthew 24 is kind of an overview of some of those things, so we're going to get into some of the specifics today, but let's just read it. All right, verse 3, we'll start here. And as he sat upon the Mount of Olives, the disciples came unto him privately, saying, tell us, when shall these things be, and what shall be the sign of thy coming, and of the end of the world, or the end of the age? And Jesus answered and said unto them, take heed that no man deceive you. Now this lets you know that lies and deception is going to be the biggest thing that you're going to have to deal with, and primarily coming from governments of the world. That's from Psalm 2, when he said the kings of the earth are going to confer together, they're going to conspire to be against the Lord, the God of the Bible, and his anointed. That means the Messiah, Jesus, and the church, his body. But he says, take heed that no man deceive you. For many shall come in my name, saying, I am Christ, or I am God, or I am anointed. The word Christ means anointed one. Many will come saying that, and shall deceive many. There's a lot of people naming the name of Jesus deceiving me, a.k.a. Pope Francis would be one good example of that. And you shall hear of wars and rumors of wars. See that you be not troubled, for all these things must come to pass, but the end is not yet. For nation shall rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom, and there shall be famines and pestilences or plagues and earthquakes in divers places. All of these are the beginning of sorrows. Now, I agree with many that say, well, that's kind of a general overview. But what's interesting is that Jesus talked about, when he said these are the beginning of sorrows, he talked about it, the word sorrows there means birth pains, like a woman beginning to have birth pains to have her child. And it starts off just a little trickle at a time, but then it begins to speed up and then intensify, okay? All you women that's had children, you know what I'm talking about. I don't really know what I'm talking about, but I've seen it a time or two. Right? But he says here that this is the beginning of sorrows. Now, what's interesting about this, let's look at where we are right now. Russia has about 100,000 troops right now on the border of Ukraine. China is talking about taking Taiwan. China's also preparing for war. You just pull up, just Google China prepares for war against the United States. Just Google that. and see how many articles come up. See how many quotes from the president of China and his generals. We are in the midst of a time where I think this is the calm before the storm. China moves on Taiwan. Russia moves on to Ukraine. The psycho we have now in the Oval Office, there's no telling what they might do. Just saw this week that a U.S. senator was threatening a first strike on Russia, a first nuclear strike upon Russia. Not a smart thing to do, because guess what, folks? Nobody wins a nuclear war, right? Remember war games from the 80s, any of you older folks? Right? Want to play a game, right? What's that? Yeah. What did they find out? The only way to win is not to play that game, the nuclear war game. Though we know from Revelation 9 that we're going to have a war, it says, it's going to kill one-third of mankind in the last days. That's pretty bad. So we may have a limited nuclear war. I saw where today Russia just sold a bunch of weapons to India. I know that India and China don't get along at all. We could have all kind of little issues, and then not to talk about, don't even have to mention some of the Muslim nations like Pakistan that have nuclear weapons that aren't secure, Turkey. We could go down the list. But we live in a very fragile world. And this is what Jesus was talking about, that it wouldn't just be your normal kind of wars. We're talking about, if we talk about a war that kills one-third of mankind, you're talking about over 2 billion people. Now think about that. In World War I, we lost 8.2 million people died. In World War II, 60 million. In the communist uprisings that took over Russia and China, we're talking about maybe 100 to anywhere between 100 to 200 million. Nobody knows for sure, but we know it's 100 million died in communist revolutions. But what's coming will make all of that look like a picnic, like nothing. The hatred for Christians and Jews, one of the things prophesied in this Bible, the particular hatred for Christians and Jews is growing across the world at an unbelievable rate right now. And that's what we'll get. Let's read verse 9. He says this, then, meaning after this, and of course, well, let me back up, plagues. Now we got Corona and Delta and Omicron, and no telling what they're going to have next, you know. I saw a funny meme. It was Buddy the Elf going, yay, only two more variants till Christmas. Yeah, there'll be more of that, more biological weapons released, man-made plagues. But he says this, verse 9, then they shall deliver you up to be afflicted, and they shall kill you, and you shall be hated of all nations for my name's sake. Right now, the number one, I could pull the articles up, but I didn't do it today, but just pull the articles up, evangelicals and the vaccine resistance, and they're trying to blame now that the problem is the Christians who won't take the vaccine. That's the problem. When the vaccines don't work and you still get coronavirus and you still die, even if you have the vaccine. So bottom line is they're pushing something that doesn't work, that's actually harmful, and then they want to say, well, oh, it's because of you unvaccinated people. Yeah, right, whatever. But, of course, if you put it in the media, a lie in the media enough, people tend to believe it. I've never seen a time where more people are completely brainwashed by the media and cannot think for themselves. But then he goes on, he said, they shall deliver you up to be afflicted, and they shall kill you. This is going to happen. I remember I've talked about Revelation 6, when he talks about the fifth seal, and he saw the souls under the altar who were slain for their testimony for the word of God. And the people there that have been martyrs asked the Lord, they said, when are you going to avenge our blood upon those who dwell upon the earth? Meaning that the people who killed them are still on the earth. I believe the first wave of the end time martyrdom happened 2013, 14, 15, ISIS in the Middle East. Basically almost wiped out all of Christianity in the Middle East just by killing all the Christians and the pastors. But I think they are the ones crying out And the Lord tells them, you got to wait a little while. There's more of your brethren that are going to die for their faith. And that is where we are headed very quickly. They're building prison camps for you unvaccinated folks. You know that, right? They already have them in Australia and different places, Canada. They're already putting people in them. Saw some videos of some people in one in Australia. It's unreal. But verse 10, he says, then shall many be offended and shall betray one another and hate one another. I have to stop right there. Offense. Offense is a huge thing. What do you mean? What does offense mean? Offense means when you get your little feelings hurt by somebody and then you let it grow into a problem. Or you get your pride gets in a new gear, and all of a sudden you think you're better than somebody else or something like that, whatever. But offense, also the offense, remember Jesus said there would be people offended at him. He said there would be people offended at his word. But folks, let me say, and I felt very strongly this morning when I was praying, I was actually up all night. I think I slept 2 hours. I think I slept between 2 and 3 and 6 and 7. But during those other times praying, I just felt like I was supposed to tell you, if you have any offense, bitterness, hurt, upset, anger, issues with somebody, unforgiveness, you best deal with them now. Because you don't want to be offended in the last days. Because offense will turn into hate. And you say, oh, Pastor Dean, I would never hate anybody. Let me give you the biblical definition of hate: to love less than you should. Go look it up. The biblical definition of the Strong's: detest or to love less. So you love less than you should love. And folks, let me just go and tell you, if you're a Christian and you got an issue with somebody in this church, like you're in this church and you got an issue with somebody in this church, love. Love covers a multitude of sins. It doesn't rehearse somebody else's sin or issue. The moment we start thinking we're better than somebody else or we got it all together and they don't, is the moment you are going to fall, because pride goes before a fall. But if you're offended with somebody or somebody, you know, because there's always going to be misunderstandings. There's always going to be, we're all flesh. So sometimes we say stuff we shouldn't say. Now, married folks, can they get a witness? You say stuff you shouldn't say. It's like, why? And then you sit back and go, why did that come out of my mouth? Right? Jesus, help me. Why did that come out of my mouth? But you know what? That's why I tell everybody, you know, everybody gives me a hard time. I tell people not to move here. I don't blame folks that want to move here and have a church that believes the Bible and teaches the truth and teaches about what's going on in the world. But I tell them, I say, it's a lot different being out there, being our extended church family, and actually having to live in the house. And that's when things get real, all right? And we know that. But deal with your offense. Now, I know I'm pausing on some things, but we're going to get there. It might take us a little while. He says, many false prophets shall rise and deceive many. That goes without saying. He said, because iniquity or sin or injustice shall abound, the love of many shall wax cold. So don't let that happen to you. Here is a very important verse here. This is a word to Christians. But he that shall endure unto the end, the same shall be saved. What does it mean to endure? It means you do not fall away. You do not give up. You do not quit because of the persecution, the pressure, the difficulties, the affliction, losing your job, whatever it is. You don't give up and walk away from following Jesus. And that's what he's trying to do. Only those who endure this, and it means it's going to be something to endure. But those who endure what's coming to the end and stay faithful to their faith in Jesus Christ, their relationship with Jesus, there is a great reward in store for those who endure to the end. They will be saved. You don't want to hear the words, depart from me, ye cursed into everlasting fire, prepared for the devil and his angels. Those words you don't want to hear from Jesus. So be prepared to endure. And let me just go on and tell you, folks, maybe the Lord's let me get a little taste, because the spiritual warfare I've been facing the last few weeks has been some of the most intense I've faced all my life, and I've fought entire witches' covens. It has been intense, both in every way, spiritually, mentally, emotionally, and even physically. I'm telling you right now, you got to make up your mind. Your mind has to be, you have to make sure your mind is strong. How do you make your mind strong? You better be meditating and reading the Word of God. You better be praying in the Spirit. You better have prayer time. I'm saying you got to make your spirit, soul, and body strong in the Lord and in the power of His might, or you will not be able to endure what's coming, whether it be the deceptions that are coming, because great deceptions are coming. The fallen angels are going to show up and declare themselves to be aliens, and all the world's going to listen to them. Because Jesus, remember, the fallen angels appeared in the days of Noah. They appeared to men. They had relations with human women, created the race of giants called the Nephilim or the Raphaim or the Zamzumans or whatever, all the different ones. There was a race of giants created. And the Bible said, Jesus said, and we'll see it in a second, He said, as it was in the days of Noah, so will it be in the days of the coming Son of Man. What was going on there? They were trying to manipulate and change the genetics, the DNA of human beings. And the fallen angels were interacting with human beings and deceiving human beings. So, folks, here they come. Mark it down. I saw a video the other day the colonel sent me. And it was a former, you know, and again, could be true, could not be true, but I found it interesting that this guy said he was a former CIA agent and he had seen the plan from a long time ago, and he said that the fallen angels show up, the aliens' deception shows up in 2024. Now, it could be tomorrow, but that is a deception that's coming that's going to work on many people are going to fall away at that deception because they've been bombarding us since the 40s with all this sci-fi. Oh, there's aliens. There's life out in other planets. No, there's not. No, the life in this universe that God created, it's us. It's Him. There's Satan. There's angels. And there's demons. There's no others. There's nobody from the planet, you know, from the Andromeda galaxy coming to see us. No. And remember, the angels had chariots. They had vehicles. The Bible even talks about this. Zechariah 5, he talks about the flying scrolls, the flying cylinders that would deceive the whole world. Yeah, I've preached on that. It's an old one. I won't repeat that today. But that's coming. Zechariah 5. Look it up. Now, endure to the end. And notice in verse 14, he said, and this is the good news here, and this gospel, not Joel Osteen's gospel, not Creflo Dollar's new jet gospel, this gospel, what's he talking about? This one that he preached, this one that he provided, this gospel of the kingdom shall be preached in all the world for a witness unto all nations, and then the end shall come. See, one of the things that Satan's going to use, the internet and all of this stuff, but let me tell you, God's people have been able to use it too now for these last, 10, 15 years. I never thought our church, you know, there was a point before YouTube terminated my channel that we were reaching anywhere between 50 and 100,000 people a month. That's how many views we were getting. Millions in the last 5 years, just millions and millions of views. Little church here in Opelika, Alabama. But the truth has gone out and is going out to nations of the world. We get messages from everywhere. I got one, the other day from Slovenia? And just amazing stuff. I got an amazing testimony this week. Someone was listening either last week or the week before. This woman was listening, and I was preaching about drinking. and the sin of drunkenness, and you can't be a drunkard and go to heaven and all this. And I was just, you know, she said her husband walked in, normally doesn't listen with her, heard that, didn't say a word, walked out. She said, but he hadn't been drinking. So see, you never know, but God's using this to get this gospel of the kingdom. Now, here's what I want to get to this, too. When he says, when you, this is Jesus speaking, when you therefore shall see the abomination of desolation spoken of by Daniel the prophet stand in the holy place, whoso readeth, let him understand. Now, I want to be clear, because there's a lot of crazy ideas going on. There's people who don't believe that there's going to be a literal Jewish temple on the Temple Mount. There are people who don't believe there's going to be a literal man called the Antichrist or the man of sin, the son of perdition. I even heard this week somebody said that the Antichrist is really the fear that's causing everybody to get the mark. No. Yes, fear is involved. The Bible teaches both there will be a temple, a Jewish temple. It may be a tent. It may be just a small little place of prayer. But there will be a Jewish presence on the Temple Mount. And the Hashemites, the Jordanian royal family, and the clerics in Jordan are already talking about allowing that to take place. So this is not me. Revelation 11 talks about measuring the court, and basically that there's going to be a place for the Gentiles and the Jews on the Temple Mount side by side. Now that can only happen. The Dome of, I've been up there on the Temple Mount. I've walked the whole thing. There's plenty of room up there for another building. It doesn't even have to be that close to the Dome of the Rock. But that's coming. And this is what he's talking about here. The abomination of desolation spoken of by Daniel the prophet is the Antichrist, the man who will be the world leader that's coming. Now, I believe he's already here. So does Prince Charles. Y'all got that video ready? I want you to listen to the Prince Charles. Where was he speaking to? The Davos Group or the World Economic Forum? One of these UN Antichrist gatherings. But this is one of the most interesting things. Remember, this man may soon take the throne of England. Queen Elizabeth finally dies. I guess she's running out of adrenochrome. I mean, just like the guy's probably sitting back goes, will she ever get out of my way? Because they don't care about each other. But I want you to hear what he says here, and you need to pay attention. We may have to play it more than once. You got it ready? All right, let's play it. Prince Charles.
So, ladies and gentlemen, my plea today is for countries to come together to create the environment that enables every sector of industry to take the action required. We know this will take trillions, not billions of dollars. We also know that countries, many of whom are burdened by growing levels of debt, simply cannot afford to go green. Here we need a vast military-style campaign to marshal the strength of the global private sector. With trillions at its disposal, far beyond global GDP, and with the greatest respect, beyond even the governments of the world's leaders, it offers the only real prospect of achieving fundamental economic transition.
Let's play it again. I want you to notice he said, with trillions at his disposal, greater than the global GDP, it means all the money in the world. You understand? He said his, at his disposal. And that we're going to need a military-type campaign to do what? Ultimately change the entire world economy. From what? From cash and currencies to a chip implanted in your hand. Listen to it again. Listen closely to what he says here. His disposal.
So, ladies and gentlemen, my plea today is for countries to come together to create the environment that enables every sector of industry to take the action required. We know this will take trillions, not billions of dollars. We also know that countries, many of whom are burdened by growing levels of
like
debt,
the US.
Simply cannot afford to go green. Here we need a vast military-style campaign to marshal the strength of the global private sector. With trillions at its disposal, far beyond global GDP, and with the greatest respect, beyond even the governments of the world's leaders, it offers the only real prospect of achieving fundamental economic transition.
His. Yeah, with respect far beyond the leaders of the world governments now. So there's a man. Folks, I've been telling you this for years. I found it on the UN website. The UN, the spiritual foundation of the UN, they have a whole page talking about the world spiritual teacher and leader that's coming. Their whole great invocation is about this man who's going to come and lead them into the new age, into the age of Aquarius, and that he's going to be, they even say it on the website. They even say he's going to be, to the Christians, he'll be the Christ. To the Jews, he'll be the Messiah. To the Buddhists, he'll be the Maitreya. To the, he'll be Krishna. He'll be, to the Muslims, he'll be the Imam Mahdi. I mean, they already talk about this man coming who's going to lead them, lead the UN, lead the world in a move toward world peace and world unity. And you will just all, you'll all have a universal income from the UN because this guy has trillions upon trillions upon trillions. As long as you're a good citizen, global citizen, you will have a bank account and you will do things. In fact, they're already talking about it. The patent, the Microsoft patent, is about turning your body into a mining tool for cryptocurrency. All right? So basically, if you do things that the world global leaders want you to do, then you're going to get this global, this credit score like they're doing in China. It's just going to be over the whole world. And as long as you submit to this Antichrist beast system and government and leader that's coming, as long as you submit and do what they want, your little chip will always have cryptocurrency. So your little deeds of being submissive and obedient are what's going to gain you cryptocurrency. Mm-hmm. This is not a joke. Let's keep reading, though. This is a real man. Now, then, the word then there in verse 16 means after this, then let them which be in Judea. What is Judea? Judea is the West Bank, folks. Guess who lives in the West Bank? 500,000 Jews. Guess what the plan is? The Bible talks about parting the land of Israel. He said, when they part my land is when Armageddon comes. That's Joel chapter 3, when they part the land of Israel. Well, the plan now is to give Gaza and the West Bank to the Palestinians, which is really Jordanian refugees and Egyptian refugees. There's no such thing as Palestinians. That's all made up. They don't have their own language, culture, and all this stuff. They're either Egyptian refugees or Jordanians. But in fact, what was it, 70% are Jordanians, in fact, that claim to be Palestinian. This is why the Jordanian royal family negotiates their peace treaties and on down the line. Nothing will happen with the Palestinians apart from the Jordanians because they are pretty much one and the same. All right? However, check this out. They have 500,000 Jews. Remember the big stink the last few, probably about the last decade, is that there's been Jews moving in and settling in the West Bank. Well, that's Judea, Samaria. If they part the land of Israel, and they will, because the Bible says they will, when they part the land, divide the land of Israel, this is a Bible prophecy, when that happens, all of a sudden 500,000 Jews are going to find themselves living in the West Bank under Palestinian authority. Trust me, he's telling you, when this goes down and this man takes over, He's telling those people who live in Judea, the West Bank, get out. Because this man, the Antichrist, is going to move in, and he's going to go to the Jewish temple, to the Temple Mount, and he's going to say, I'm in control here. I'm God. I am in control. This is the abomination of desolation. This is when he steps in there and says, I'm in control. I'm the one you worship. I'm the one you submit to. I'm the one you follow. You think it's crazy to think that the world would follow a man like that, but 1 billion already worship a man called the Pope, which is ridiculous. And now with a bunch of people running around saying, I'm a god, we're all gods. The insanity of that, nobody's going to blink an eye if this guy goes, hey, I'm God, y'all need to look at what I'm doing for you and for the world. Oh, yeah, it's coming. It's a man. Now, let's keep going. That's why he says, let those who which be in Judea flee to the mountains. Let them which is on the housetop not come down to take anything out of his house. Neither let him which is in the field return back to take his clothes. Woe unto them that are with child and to them that give suck in those days. But pray that your flight be not in the winter, neither on the Sabbath day. So he's telling them, again, this is specifically, this little section specifically to the Jews that live in Judea. Okay? It's where people mess up and go, oh, this whole chapter is for the Jews because it talks about, no, it's not. Because he says, then shall be great tribulation. Such was not since the beginning of the world to this time, no, nor ever shall be. And except those days should be shortened, there should no flesh be saved. But for the elect's sake, those days shall be shortened. Now, this is very important. Then if any man say unto you, lo, here is Christ or there, believe it not. And if they tell you, oh, Jesus is over here. He's over here in Jerusalem. He's over here in the desert. Oh, he came spiritually. No. None of that stuff. Jesus will physically return and every eye will see him, is what the Bible says. He said, for there shall arise false Christ and false prophets, and they will show great signs and wonders, insomuch that if it were possible, they shall deceive the very elect. Revelation 13, and we're going to turn there in a minute, but it says the false prophet will actually be able to call fire down from heaven. I believe he'll actually call too and call alien ships to appear, and they will. This is what Dr. Stephen Greer is already doing in the desert, this New Ager guy. And I knew a person that knew him and actually went out to the desert with him, and they do their little meditation and visualization and chanting and the bowls and everything else until they have an appearance of a UFO. I believe the false prophet will be able to just... And you say, who do you think the false prophet's going to be? I think whoever the last pope is. And it could be Francis, or there may be one more. But whoever the last pope is, I believe, is the false prophet. You can disagree if you want, but just what I have observed, it makes sense over the last 30-something years. But they say, if they say, here is Christ or there, believe it not, for there shall arise false Christ and false prophets shall show great signs and wonders, insomuch that if it were possible, they shall deceive the very elect. And Jesus gives this warning, behold, I have told you before. Wherefore, if they shall say unto you, behold, he, Christ, is in the desert, go not forth. Behold, he is in secret chambers. Believe it not. For as lightning cometh out of the east and shineth even unto the west, so shall the coming of the Son of Man be. For wheresoever the carcass is, there will the eagles be gathered together. This is a reference to Armageddon. That's where God's going to gather all the eagles and the vultures and everything else to come eat the flesh of the armies of the Antichrist that he kills himself. But he tells us here, too, if you want to know when the rapture is, real clear, this is a chronological, sequential outline of the last day's events. Have you seen anything about the church being caught up and taken away secretly? No. Here's where you find out. Here's the second coming of Jesus. He says, immediately after. Somebody say after. Guess what? I looked it up in the Greek. Guess what it means? After. It doesn't mean before. No way you get before out of this. It means after. Immediately after the tribulation of those days, the sun shall be darkened. Has that happened yet? The moon shall not give her light. Her light. The stars shall fall from heaven. Ooh, wait a minute. I thought the stars were these big, massive suns. If one star fell, the earth's gone. See, NASA... worldly cosmology is incorrect. God's word's correct. Stars will fall from the firmament. That's what it says, heaven, because the firmament is called heaven. And the powers of the heavens shall be shaken. And then, everybody say, and then. Shall thus appear the sign of the Son of Man, that is Jesus, in heaven. And then shall all the tribes of the earth mourn. And they shall see the Son of Man coming in the clouds of heaven with power and great glory. Is that secret? Everybody will see him. In fact, the wicked will see him coming and mourn because they will know they are in big trouble. And then it says, and. What is and? Y'all remember conjunction function? Yeah, we actually grew up learning some grammar in Saturday morning cartoons. That doesn't happen anymore. All right, I love it. But what does he say here? And. So he's coming back. Everyone sees him. And he shall send his angels with a great sound of a trumpet, and they shall gather his elect from the four winds, from one end of heaven to the other. This is the resurrection, the first resurrection. This is what 1 Thessalonians 4:13-18 says, that when Jesus comes, he will descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, with the trump of God. The dead in Christ will rise first, then we which are alive and remain will be caught up to meet him in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. That's when that happens, okay? Not before, not 7 years before, not 3.5 years before. That's when it happens, according to Jesus. Not according to Pastor Dean, but according to Jesus. And that's who we go by. Now, let's keep on reading here. He says, now learn a parable of the fig tree. When the branch is yet tender and putteth forth leaves, you know that summer is nigh. So likewise, when you see all these things, know that it is near, even at the doors. Verily, I say unto you, this generation shall not pass till all these things be fulfilled. Heaven and earth shall pass away, but my words shall not pass away. And again, he means not gone forever, just changed. Now, let me back up here. The parable of the fig tree and this generation not passing till all these things be fulfilled. I know there's people out there that believe that when the Roman, I think it was the 11th Legion that was full of Muslims as well, came in 70 AD and helped the Romans destroy Jerusalem and the temple and disperse the Jews for 1,780-something years, whatever it was. Some people say, oh, that was what Jesus was talking about here. That and Jesus came spiritually. This is what the preterists say. They say that Jesus came spiritually in 70 AD through the Roman armies. This is not what Jesus is talking about here. Not even close. Because he said all the things need to be fulfilled. What would need to be fulfilled if Jesus came in 70 AD would have been 1,000 years of peace, no wars, many other things. The New Jerusalem, the trees, the fruit trees for the healing of the nations. There's a whole lot of things that had to happen. Folks, let me just go and tell you. 70 AD was not the end. Everything was not fulfilled then. So what is he talking about? He's talking about this generation that begins to see these things come to pass. He said, that generation shall not pass. That's our generation. That's us. That's me. I was born in 1967. That was the day of the Six-Day War. That was the day, that was the year that Israel took back the Temple Mount, which was key to end-time prophecy. Not just them becoming a nation in 1948, but 1967, taking the Temple Mount back and taking control of that again. Because Jerusalem had to be a nation, because the Bible talks about in Luke that all the nations of the world around them would end up coming against them and surrounding them. Well, guess what? You'd have to be a nation now, wouldn't you? They weren't a nation again until 1948, and they didn't have an army powerful enough, and they didn't have full control of Jerusalem until 1967. My generation. I believe it's from 67. That generation will see these things come to pass. My dad, I think, was born in 45, so you see where he may not see it all, but our generation will, mine. Now, let's keep going. Y'all don't care. Hey, we're reading the Bible together this morning. He says, but of that day and hour knoweth no man, no, not the angels in heaven, but my Father only. But as the days of Noah were, so shall the coming of the Son of Man be. For as in the days of Noah that were before the flood, they were eating, drinking, marrying, giving in marriage until the day that Noah entered in the ark, and they knew not until the flood came and took them all away. So shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. Now, I want to stop reading this right now. We could read on. But I wanted you to see, because I quoted that days of Noah. Now, go to Revelation 13. Now, I can show you in Daniel 7. I can show you in Revelation where the Antichrist is a man. You have two things talked about as beast. You have the beast world government that has seven heads and ten horns. And you have the beast, the man who will lead them, the 11th horn, the little horn, who is a man. It says he will have a mouth speaking great things and blasphemies. That he will literally be killed by Jesus and his body will be put into the hell fire. This is, it says his body will be given to the flames. That means he has to have a body. It's not a spirit. It's not fear. It's not an idea. All right? There will be a man. He's coming. You heard Prince Charles talk about him. All right? They're going to love him. They already love him. All right? Revelation 13, we're going to read from verse 1 here. I'm going to show you something. This will give you, I told you so. And it's, look, it's 10 to 12. We're doing good. I'm rolling through this quickly. All right? All right, let's read it. Y'all ready to read a little bit? All right. I stood upon the sand of the sea, and I saw a beast rise up out of the sea, having seven heads and ten horns, and upon his horns ten crowns, and upon his heads the name of blasphemy. And the beast which I saw was like unto a leopard, and his feet were as the feet of a bear, and his mouth as the mouth of a lion. And the dragon, and we find out from Revelation 12, the dragon is a term for Satan as well. The dragon, Satan, gave him his power and his seat and great authority. And I saw one of his heads as it were wounded to death, and his deadly wound was healed, and all the world wondered after the beast. Now, let me say this. We've been taught by stupid Christian movies and stupid Christian novels that the Antichrist man is going to receive a head wound and die and be raised from the... That's not true. It's talking about this world government beast that has seven heads and ten horns, and it says one of his heads. I've never seen a man with seven heads. If y'all know of one, please tell me about it. But the seven-head, ten-horned beast, the seven heads, these are seven world leaders. The ten horns are ten kings that will rule with them. How many of you know the United Nations already has seven heads and ten horns? Did y'all know that? I've taught you this before, but for new folks, I'm going to tell you again. The seven heads, here we go. You got the Security Council. The Security Council has five. United States, China, England, France, and Russia. That's the Security Council. They've added Germany back in now, so that's called the P5 plus one. And when they have a serious issue going on, like the Iran nuclear deal, they call in the head of the European Union. So they have seven. If you go look at the UN website, you'll find out that underneath the Security Council, the entire Security Council, you have the top leadership, and then you have 10 other positions that rotate between 10 nations, have a leader that represent them. So you've got seven heads and ten horns. The United Nations is this beast. How do I know that? Because the book of Daniel talks about these nations. He said, these are nations that shall arise. He talked about a lion, a bear, a leopard, and then with two heads and wings and all that. And I've shown you how that those were, we know England, we know the leopard was the European nations. And I don't have time to go through all that. This is the Russians, the bear. Well, we see that those were end-time kingdoms, end-time nations in Daniel, and they were kind of separate. But we see now they all come together in one beast. So if the beasts represent nations, and then in the end they're all united together, what would that be? United Nations. Okay? With seven heads and ten horns. We have it already. It's already there. All right? So that's what he's talking about. There's the world government beast, the UN, seven heads and ten horns, and then there's the man that's coming. Now, here's something else I want to get to right here, verse 4. Because, you know, the QAnon people have been so criticized for saying that world leaders and there's worship Satan. The Bible said that in the last days, the world leaders will worship Satan. If it's in the Bible prophecy, folks, it's not a conspiracy theory. Here's what he says. And they worshipped the dragon, Satan, that which gave power unto the beast, and they worshipped the beast, saying, who is like unto the beast, who is able to make war with him? And there was given unto him, this is where it switches to the man, a mouth speaking great things and blasphemies, and power was given unto him to continue 42 months. That's 3.5 years. The last 3.5 years of the last 7 is what's called the Great Tribulation. All right? And this is when things begin to change. Look at note verse 6. It says, and he opened his mouth in blasphemy against God to blaspheme his name and his tabernacle and them that dwell in heaven. His tabernacle. Where's that tabernacle going to be? See, this is this Antichrist coming in, the abomination of desolation. This is the way it's going to go down, folks. Now, it may go down a little different than we imagine in our minds, but it's still going to go down fulfilling these scriptures. Now let's read. It says, and it was given unto him, verse 7, to make war with the saints and to overcome them, and power was given unto him over all kindreds and tongues and nations. And they and all that dwell upon the earth shall worship him whose names are not written in the book of life of the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world. If any man have an ear, let him hear. Now here's what's very important here. Listen to this. He's telling you. If Jesus Christ is not your Lord and Savior and your name's not written down in his book, you're going to follow this. You're going to give in to this. You're going to follow Satan and this whole plan that's going down. There will not be. There's no middle ground. You will either follow Jesus, the true God, the true Creator, or you're going to follow Satan. Now, Satan is going to disguise himself as many different things. The Jews think he's one, God's one thing. It's all this deception out here. But there's only one true God. There's only one Creator. And his name is Jesus Christ. And you're going to be on his side or Satan's side. And if you don't, if your name's not written in the book of life of the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world, guess what? You will follow this whole beast system. You know why? Because they're going to put pressure on you from every side. Your job, your home, your life, everything, food. They'll put pressure on you in every way. And if you don't really know Jesus and love Jesus, why would you die for him? Why would you suffer anything for him? You have to know him. He goes on to say, he that leadeth into captivity shall go into captivity. Basically, those who are leading people into prison are going to find themselves led into captivity as well. It's called eternal captivity. He that killeth with the sword must be killed with the sword. Here is the patience and faith of the saints. He says, and I beheld another beast coming up out of the earth. He had 2 horns like a lamb, and he spake as a dragon. This is what I believe is a clear reference to the Pope, the office of the Pope. It says he had 2 horns like a lamb. Not that he was a lamb. What's the lamb a symbol of? The lamb is a symbol of Jesus and the people of God. So he's saying he has 2 horns like a lamb, but he's not a lamb. He speaks what the dragon speaks, Satan. Just like Pope Francis tells the Muslims, oh, they're going to heaven whether they know Jesus or not. Oh, no, no, no. Or homosexuals. The Pope has even said atheists who don't believe in God at all will still go to heaven when they die. This is the dragon talking, okay? And he says a lot more worse things than this. I mean, the Pope is for socialism and communism. It's just unbelievable. But anyway, he says he has 2 horns like a lamb. He spake, and he exercises all the power of the first beast before him and causes the earth and them which dwell therein to worship the first beast whose deadly wound was healed. So meaning that this man who is like a lamb, but speaks as a dragon, is going to push everyone to worship, honor, revere, submit to, and serve the beast with 7 heads and 10 horns, the world government. Guess who's a world government pusher? Pope Francis. Bill Gates. We could list them all who are pushing for a one world government. And look at this. It says that this individual, just like we read a minute ago, it says, he doeth great wonders, so that he maketh fire to come down from heaven on earth in the sight of men. and deceiveth them that dwell upon the earth by means of those miracles which he had power to do in the sight of the beast, saying to them that dwell on the earth that they should make an image to the beast which had a wound by a sword and did live. And he had power to give life unto the image of the beast. Now this is what I believe is artificial intelligence. That there, he's going to tell people to make an image to the beast, the world government. And then this image that you make or you're given, whether it be on your phone or your computer or whatever, but it says this thing is going to be able to communicate with you. He's going to give power for it to speak. This is artificial intelligence taking over right here. All right? We're already, most of you don't even know how controlled we're already being by artificial intelligence. But then this is what I want to get to here. He says, basically, if you won't worship the image of the beast, you should be killed. So that I believe is going to be a way artificial intelligence is going to monitor your reverence and submission to this system. And if you don't submit to it, then you're marked for death. And it says, and he causes all, both small and great, rich and poor, free and bond, to receive a mark in their right hand or in their forehead, that no man might buy or sell, save he that had the mark or the name of the beast or the number of his name. Here is wisdom, let them that hath understanding count the number of the beast, for it is the number of a man, and his number is 666. So he's told us that in the last days we would move away. Think about this. I mean, the history of mankind is pretty much, except going way back, it would have been bartering primarily. But think how long the history has been that we've had cash, coins, currency, millennia. The Word of God, and this was written by down the Apostle John. Jesus appeared to the Apostle John on the Isle of Patmos and gave him this book. 2,000 years ago, folks, A.D. 95, A.D. 96, and told him that in the last days the world would be moved away from cash and bartering to something implanted in your hand or your forehead, without which you would not be able to buy or sell. Now that is a prophecy that is so specific, you can't miss it. There's nothing quite like it. These people that still want to say the Bible was written by men, wake up. The Holy Spirit of God Almighty, the Creator, moved upon these men and told them what to write. Sometimes, like with John, he appeared to him, called him up to heaven and said, here's what I want you to write down. These are true prophets, true apostles, true men of God wrote this book. And they wrote what God told them to write, not what they wanted to write. That's why we have these things where you can sit back. 30 years ago, you could go, how is this going to happen? How are we going to have something implanted in our hand and go through the store and boop? How is it going to communicate with my bank account? What if I'm in Europe and my bank account's in America? How's that going to work? That it's in my hand. Oh, well, now it works. Let's put up those. This is where I said, I hate to tell you, I told you so. Here it comes. You ready? People get microchips implanted that include vaccine records amid new COVID restrictions. I told you it's coming. It's starting in Sweden. Let's read this. Go to the next one. Let's read this. People in Sweden are increasingly seeking to have microchips inserted into their bodies that contain their COVID-19 vaccination records, according to local media outlets. This is Newsweek magazine just the other day. Let's read a little bit more. You can read the whole article. Just look up Newsweek and microchips. Video recently shared by Afton Bladet, a Stockholm-based daily newspaper, showed one individual having a microchip inserted near the thumb on his right hand, a procedure that was performed quickly. It says the paper's video also featured other people who have said that they had had the microchips inserted in their hand, arm, or chest. Those individuals then use their smartphone to detect the chip's presence or swipe the portion of their body that contained the chip over door sensors to demonstrate how it worked. Um, I told you what's coming, right? They're locking down these countries like Australia, Austria, Germany. And trust me, they want to do it here, but they know that they're going to have serious problems here trying to do that. It will lead to civil war here. But they're doing this. And they're basically, Israel's told people, you don't, in fact, there's an article, Jerusalem Post article, that says you will not buy and sell unless you have the vaccine and the passport to go with it. This is how serious. Remember I said, I don't believe the vaccine is the full mark of the beast. I believe it is the tool used to get us to the mark of the beast. And the full mark of the beast is when you don't buy or sell unless you have. And guess what? Being fully vaccinated now is not just one dose or two doses. Now it's going to three doses, four doses, five doses. So basically, unless you're eternally vaccinated month after month after month, you are not, and your vaccination information fully up to date. Mark it down. Within the next year or two, there will be a mandate. If there is a world war, if there is a war, if Russia moves against the Ukraine, China moves against Taiwan, the United States gets involved, we have a big war. Trust me, they're going to try to mandate this on everyone. There could be martial law. There could be all kind of things imposed upon us in a time of crisis. Because that's what they do. The governments of the world always create a crisis so they have the answer that they want to give you. And what they've been working on, listen, I listened to a, there's a guy named Aaron Russo. Anybody know who I'm talking about? Remember Aaron Russo? Anybody remember him? He was not a Christian at all. He ran for governor of Nevada back in like the 80s, whatever. But he's just a regular guy, and he saw how the government was trying to take over everything and screw us. And he was just like, well, he did a documentary called Mad as Hell. And so he was making some noise, and he almost won. You know, he got close to winning. And Nevada, and so he got contacted because he was also a film producer. So this guy was media savvy and all this stuff, right? He gets contacted by the Rockefellers. And Rockefeller shows up and goes, hey, what are you doing? Well, I'm sick of this stuff. He goes, yeah, well. He goes, he told him, and this is like in the 80s, late 80s. He told him, he said, there's going to be an event. And then we're going to be going into Afghanistan and Iraq. He said there's going to be soldiers looking for a guy in caves that doesn't exist. He said, but all of that's designed to get us to the point, he said, where everybody gets a chip in their hand and all the money's on those chips and all controlled by those chips. He said, because the elite, the Rockefellers and the Illuminati families, they want total control over you. And he said, why? He said, you know, you guys, Russo said to Rockefeller, like, what, you guys got more money than you'll ever be able to spend. What is the deal? He goes, why you worry about that? Take care of yourself and yours and don't worry about everything else, everybody else. That is their mentality. This plan has been here for a long time. And releasing a biological weapon like coronavirus was part of the plan. They have been planning it for decades to put fear in us, gain control over us, and get us to inject something in our bodies that's not just a vaccine. You need to hear me. It's not just a vaccine. They would never. They're not stupid, folks. They know the mRNA vaccines do not work. They don't work. It's being proven every day. 60,000 doctors and scientists have signed petitions saying this stuff doesn't work. Dr. Robert Malone, the inventor that holds all the patents to the mRNA technology, said don't take the vaccine. He said, first of all, he said, the government's lying to us, and it's dangerous. Don't do it. This is Dr. Robert Malone said this. So what I'm saying is, you say, well, what if I've taken it? Well, if you're still walking around and you hadn't dropped dead of a heart attack, you can praise God that he intervened for you. Because it's gone up now. You know the video I played a few weeks ago of the 75 athletes dropping dead of heart attacks or cardiac arrest and most of them dying? That's now up to over 300. And now it's starting in the United States, but they're covering that up. But there was an NFL player the other day that just died of a heart attack. Yeah, he was only at 33, I think. 33. They got him. They got him. Folks, I've told you over a year ago that when they mandated this stuff, they would eventually start saying, well, the paper records aren't good enough because people can forge those paper records too easy. I know people doing it. Not me, because I'm not going to do that. But I know people that are forging their vaccine. So, and they started talking about it immediately that they were going to have to do something different. And put means to put it in. And so you say, well, it says the Bible talks about putting it in your hand or your forehead. How many of you heard Mr. Elon Musk talking about his Neuralinks? Yep. And I've heard some doctors and scientists talk about not only will it have these implants can have information upon them, but DARPA admits that they can control your mind and emotions with them. Because they say that they can help soldiers who have PTSD with their emotional problems with an implant in their brain or in their body somewhere. Now, if they can control a soldier's emotions with something implanted in them, what do you think they want to do to us? Let's just say it was only for commercial reasons. Buy this. Spend this money here. Do this. We get that. We get all that kind of manipulation control from the TV set. But think about it being in your head or your body, and they can control your brain waves. There's a leaked, and I talked about this, there's a leaked video from the Pentagon. And I know the man it was leaked to personally. And they were talking about they had developed a vaccine that would actually change the area of your brain that made you, that they see sparks up, lights up if you're a religious person. And they said they could give you a vaccine or injection that could kill that so that you wouldn't be a religious fanatic. They call it the fun vax. Meaning fundamentalist. Now think about that. That's an old video. Many people, and what I was told that the original video, it showed plainly it was Bill Gates giving this talk at the Pentagon. And that it was doctored later, and the ones you see on the internet is kind of doctored, and you can't tell it's him. But I know the guy that has the original, all right? Which I'm not shocked that it's Bill Gates. I mean, come on. He is evil incarnate. Yeah. You know, he starts laughing, talking about people dying, and he starts giggling. I'm like, dude, don't put me and this man in the same room. just evil, you know. But folks, all of this, and again, I'm only covering a little bit today. You say, well, Pastor Dean, you've all right, now you've ruined my Sunday. You've ruined Christmas. You've ruined our fellowship today. We're just all be gloom and doom. No, here's the thing. Listen to me. Remember our verse that we spoke about at the conference. The Lord said darkness was going to cover the earth and gross darkness the people. Isaiah 60, verse 2. gross darkness. He means terrible darkness is going to cover the people of the world. He said, but my glory will be seen upon you. He promised that he would pour out his spirit on all flesh. You say, Pastor Dean, what if I already got the vaccine and I've messed up? There's nothing God can't help you with. Right? Reverse. Deal with. The next step, and that's why I want to tell you, that's why I warn people all the time, the next step is getting you to submit fully to the system. Getting the implant in your hand or your head, submitting to ongoing booster shots. And really what's killing most folks is the third and fourth booster shots. And a lot of people, in fact, there's a Polish doctor and some others that got a case of, I think it was the Moderna vaccine, they got like a case of it, and one-third of the vials were saline water. So some of you got water if you got it. Which is genius because, you know, they want a lot of people to get that, so they go say, oh, I got it, nothing happened to me. Or, you know, it's brilliant that you can, you know, sell 100,000 vials and that, you know, a third of them are just water. So, oh, they're just raking it in. Billions and billions and billions and billions of dollars. And then they're going to crash our economy. Because they have to. So in the days ahead, they're going to crash our economy so that we will give in to the new system. This is what Klaus Schwab is talking about. The Great Reset. The Great Reset is the rise of the Antichrist world government. They want a one world government, a one world new age religion. You can be anything but Christian, true Christian. And they want a one world digital cryptocurrency. And the only way you access it is it being in your hand or your forehead. Well, not this guy. If you don't follow this book right here, you're going to be deceived. And we probably need to talk about the alien thing again at some point. We're going to go through, we'll go through Zechariah 5 in the days ahead. I know they're planning that one. There's a book, I got Ted to read it, called American Cosmic, which is not a Christian book. They're pretty much admitting it. We're talking about scholars across the world and former NASA employees are admitting that, yeah, the aliens, they even say in the book that the aliens helped them make the iPhone. Right? Well, it's not aliens. See, going back to the days of Noah, the fallen angels taught mankind technology. It's nothing new under the sun, folks. And I can't wait for the day I can throw this piece of Nephilim technology in the river and be done with it. Right now, we got to use their stupid system. But in the days ahead, we will not be. They're going to cut us off. They'll cut us off from this. Well, think about it. If you can't pay your phone bill, your phone's gone. Right? Yeah, I know, man. See, I lived in a time before this. I know you can survive. Yeah, I had everybody's phone numbers in my head, man. I didn't need... Here's what's funny. Ones I didn't know, I had written in my Bible. I had people's phone numbers in my Bible. Let's stand and we'll pray. Are y'all excited? Look, there's two time periods I think would have been great to live in. When Jesus was here the first time and this time. Everything else is just kind of mediocre. But this time and it's gonna be awesome. It already is, because God promised he's gonna move. And he's gonna move through you and me. And he's got plans for his people. I don't even know. We need to do a short one. Let's do it. Let's do it. Holy ground. We'll do that one more time, and then we'll be dismissed for our fellowship downstairs. just worship Jesus for one more moment.
On holy ground, and I know that there are angels all around. Let us pray. This is holy ground. We're standing on holy ground. For the Lord is here, and where He is holy.
Bless you, Lord. We praise your name. I ask you to bless your people here today, those watching and listening. Lord, we ask you to lead us and guide us into all truth, Lord. Give us strength spiritually, mentally, emotionally, Lord, to stand strong and endure to the end. And Lord, we just ask you for wisdom as we walk through this darkness and this world trying to be the light for you. Lord, you promised this gospel of the kingdom shall be preached in all the world, for a witness unto all nations, and then the end would come. Help us do all we can do, Lord, to lead others to know Jesus as their Lord and Savior, their Redeemer, the forgiver of their sins, Lord, their everlasting life, the resurrection and the life. Lord, I ask you, reveal yourself, and we thank you for it now. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. All right. Y'all know the rule, hug some necks. I hear there's a food and fun downstairs. My wife, do you, bye.